The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to the Buzzkirk and Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. I've encouraged you once, twice, maybe a million times to go catch up with us on Facebook. And Facebook, just go to Robert Graham Politician, click on the like page. We've got about 30,000 people in there, and we have good, lively exchange. And then on Twitter at Robert S. Graham. It's a great place to go to have engagement. You may not be that person that wants to call in, but if you're a person that wants to engage and get your ideas expressed, social media is a good place to go, and it's good to have interaction and exchange. Now, speaking of interaction and exchange, right now there's been some national news that's coming out of Mesa, Arizona, and Mesa, Arizona's police department. Now, there has been some body cam videos and some surveillance videos that surface, and they've made their way all over national TV and such. And there are individuals that look to be, I mean, again, the videos say one thing and the reality of the entire experience may say something else. And so we're seeing some people that are getting beat down. I mean, we see that, and we've seen some other stories that have kind of percolated up, and it's just trying to find heads or tails. So today I've invited one of my very good friends and a retired police officer, Beau Triblet. He is an extraordinary individual, has a perspective in a number of different experiences. I mean, his background is pretty robust as it relates to law enforcement. And then one of the things I talked to Beau earlier about was when you look at these scenarios, we don't know. I mean, we see the video, we see the outcome, but there's a lot that leads up to that one moment. And so, Beau, thanks for joining us. Appreciate doing it on short notice.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for thinking of me.
You got it. Hey, so you I know you've seen some of these videos, and one in particular I'll just touch on first is this Robert Johnson one. He's probably the most current one because he had this experience where he came with his friend, and his friend wanted to get stuff out of his ex-girlfriend's apartment. Long story short, somebody calls 911 because this guy's trying to force himself into the apartment. He's a friend. Cops ask him to sit down. This is what's allegedly said. And he won't sit all the way down. And then that's when all heck breaks loose. But you've been there. When you're dealing with people that aren't compliant, the intensity level, I know there's a lot of adrenaline. What's happening? What do you think about this particular situation?
Well, when I saw that video, you know, it's the typical what the media releases is, you know, the worst part of the video that gets people to watch the news and see what's going on. The thing that I always look at in these videos is the general public and the people that weren't there, including the suspect and the officers, they're the only ones that know what happened prior to that video and what was released. They're the only ones that have a clear understanding of what occurred there. What I tend to do in those situations, because these videos are popping up all the time on social media and on the news and stuff, is, and there's a pretty distinct pattern that I see. And this was when I was in law enforcement. And, you know, I've been gone from the job for going on 2 years now. The thing that I tell people to do and what I do is I just wait and see what happens, wait and see what transpires from the investigation. Because of course the video does look awful. The audio, I have not heard the audio. I've only seen the video. I know that the audio may or may not have been released. But based on what I saw, yeah, the video looks terrible. But we don't know what that guy said.
Yeah, what he did before. I mean, like you said, I mean, there's one of the things I read a couple different articles, and Mesa PD came and said, we're going to be releasing all of the video that's associated with this pretty soon. And so that's a thing we don't know. Again, just in my mind, I'm just imagining one scenario could be that, look, they may have approached these two individuals at the door of that apartment. There could have been an exchange of words. There could have been some physical exchange of some sort. But and then to the point where it got to where it is, because obviously these guys were amped up. I mean, they're and my brother's a police officer. I've had, you know, some of my best friends. I mean, we know people in Mesa PD that are pretty low key guys. But if they get amped up, then they start to get into a mode of protection. protection and compliance. And so I think you're right as we try to kind of work ourselves through this. But did you ever have, I mean, look, you've had to make people compliant. Okay. And Bo is also one of my coaches in jiu-jitsu. And let me just say it in the most humblest way possible. He's made me compliant in a number of different times, but you've had this, right? So you've hit that level of intensity. And what's it like when you're the police officer on the other side, when there's a threat there and somebody won't comply?
Well, the first thing on that Mesa video, you know, there's two sides to that story, you know, and, you know, one is that, you know, we were just there to just grab my, you know, my teddy bear, my sweatshirt from my girlfriend's house. And then the other side of the story is that, you know, they were up to some malarkey that, you know, that initiated a police response. You know, the one thing I can say for sure is that most of the time cops are not driving around and just happen upon two guys like that. I mean, most of the time they're called to that location.
They were called. There was a 911. Yeah, there was a 911 call from a neighbor, actually, because they were trying to force themselves into the apartment.
Okay, so there you go. So they were that, and maybe they weren't. Maybe it was a jammed key or whatever. You know, a lot of people see things. They don't understand what they're seeing. And sometimes, you know, people who aren't doing anything wrong are confronted by the police. And so that's something to keep in mind there, is that there's always two sides to the story, but it comes to reasonableness. I personally, you know, I'm not a cop apologist. I mean, I know that there's, you know, I know the things that go on in law enforcement, so I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a perfect job and that all the cops are saints. But for the most part, most cops are not driving around waiting for that call to come in where they can go and throw a beating on someone. That's just not the normal, that's very abnormal behavior for a police officer. And I know a lot of cops when I was on the job that, you know, are not people that I would per se have in my home, but they're not doing that type of stuff. They're not doing criminal behavior. When I would deal with somebody that was, you know, non-compliant, is, you know, I would always try to make a little bit of space because, you know, the honest answer, I don't want to get my uniform dirty. You know, it's like to wear those things 2 days in a row, you get into a scuffle and you got to switch the thing out. So I would, you know, I would give them a little bit of space and tell them, you know, like this is going to happen two ways. The end result is the same. You're going to be in handcuffs, whether you go to jail or not. I mean, we're going to determine all that, but the end result is you're going to be in handcuffs. So you can either do that nicely, turn around and do it, or I'm going to call five other guys over here and you're going to be handcuffed. You know, it was always we're always reactionary to what the subject is doing. For the most part, that's the way it's supposed to go. I have found that if you talk to people and, you know, you just talk to them and tell them, hey, this is the way it is, and it doesn't become an ego contest, or, you know, a tough guy contest, or I think I can beat you up or you can't beat me up type thing, it goes a lot smoother. In the entire time I was a cop, I was involved in three physical altercations in over 18 years. Well, only three, which is a pretty low number, but that was because I wasn't out there to try to prove, I'm the toughest guy on the block. That's not what the cop's job is. That being said, it's also not a cop's job to get punched in the face before they react.
Right.
Just like in a lot of these videos with shootings and things like that, where they're like, well, he was unarmed, or, you know, he just had a toy gun. Well, it's not the cop's job to say, well, let him shoot me in the face and then I'll shoot back, or my friends will shoot him after he shoots me. You know, if it's what a reasonable person, you know, would perceive as a threat, whether it be physical or deadly force, the officer has the same rights as you or me or anybody else. And you see that a lot with shootings where, you know, you see the you see the left side of things going, well, you know, he was unarmed. It was another unarmed person that was shot by the police. I'm like, well, what was he doing?
Yeah.
You know, well, he was pointing his hand consistent with a weapon at the cops.
Or he's pounding the face into a police officer, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you see that across the board. It's very consistent. And one of the things that I tell people, because I have this conversation a lot with people, is to watch and see what happens. This is news today, and it'll be news today and tomorrow. And then as the facts start to come out, it stops being interesting because it just turns out the cops are doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to read about that. They want to read about the rogue cop that went out and was doing the wrong thing. And those things usually get shoved away. Go ahead.
Is it normal? Is it normal? Like, I noticed also that, like, Scottsdale PD is doing the investigation in the Mesa PD. Is that normal to have, like, two departments working like that?
It's not abnormal. I believe that that's because you want transparency. I think that's a great way to do it. Now, of course, again, you get the lefty left out there that are going to say, well, the cops are investigating the cops. But what they don't understand is that's not how it works. There is the thin blue line that was, you know, people talk about in the 80s and Serpico and all those things. That's a myth. There is no thin blue line. I mean, it's very simple when you're a cop. If you are lying, you're done. Like, that's it. You're done. And nobody did this thing of covering up. That's so rare.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you're not dealing with, you're not dealing with the brightest of the bright when it comes to cops. I mean, you have to have a high school education to get in there. I'm not saying they're dumb or stupid, but, you know, you're asking a lot for people that, you know, if one person knows, then two people know, then four, then eight. So, you know, everything's usually on the up and up.
Hey,
and
Bo, hang on.
People just don't understand.
Hang on to your thoughts here. Again, you guys are listening to the Buzz Cricket Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. Bo Triple A, retired officer, we're talking about what's happening in Mesa. We'll be right back after the break. Bo, I'd like to keep you on for a little bit more. I have a couple more questions. So we'll be right back after the break. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. You are listening to the Buzz Cricket Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. If you're on your drive home, thanks for tuning in. If you're at home already, thanks for listening still. Hey, we've got a great guest here, Bo Triple A. He's a retired police officer, just been retired only a couple of years. And he is somebody that has a wealth of experience as it relates to being an officer, right? I mean, we look at what all the stuff that's happening with the Mesa PD and other departments across the country. And one of the things that Bo and I have talked about in the past, and he even alluded to it in our last segment, is how the left media, we may have just lost him, actually. Did we lose him? Okay, so we'll come back. I know, Bo, if you're hanging in there, hopefully he'll call right back here. So I'll, let's see here. I'm telling him to call back via text message, so we'll get him back here pretty quick. But anyways, nonetheless, we were talking, and Bo was saying, hey, look, the left media really portrays a certain image as it relates to it. It's always the helpless victim that is getting taken down or taken out, and there's always a story behind this. So, Bo, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, good deal. Hey, so that's the thing. I mean, look, I see this, and I see some really bad dudes that the left media sensationalizes that, you know, they get hurt or they get beat up or in some unfortunate situations, people are getting killed. But it's what do you think about the left? I mean, I don't know how we justify people just overreacting when they start to get little bits or little bite sizes piece of information.
Well, I actually go back and forth with people on social media about this all the time. They love to post the video and they love to, you know, criminalize the police and all, this guy was unarmed and this and that. And I always say the same thing. Why don't you wait until the facts come out? And then I just wait, you know, a day or two, and then I go back on there and just fillet them with their own ridiculous arguments. Because most of the time they don't understand the law. They don't understand policy, and they don't understand that oftentimes policy doesn't have anything to do with the law, and the law doesn't have anything to do with policy. A shooting that is justified criminally can be against policy. And they want, of course, your heads are supposed to roll immediately without any of the facts, just going based on, well, the guy was unarmed. Well, that's not always a determining factor as to whether or not the shooting was justified. You have to look at all of the facts, and you have to understand the way the law works and the way, you know, police policy doesn't really affect the law. And the left just loves to spin things, and as soon as you don't agree, then, you know, obviously either you're a racist or you're uneducated or you just don't understand. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that they just don't understand, because most of the time their argument goes away once all the facts come. That's happened time and time and time again.
Yep, and
there's been several cases on the news where this has just been it's a rampant thing where you have a guy who, you know, literally reaching for a gun in his pocket. The officers, you know, take, you know, justified deadly force against the guy, and unfortunately the guy dies. But all he had to do was comply from the beginning. Instead, he starts a fight with the cops and is reaching for a gun in his pocket.
Yeah, I saw.
What are the cops supposed to do?
I saw a video where there was like a high speed chase. Long story short, this car gets, you know, they push it, they nudge it. The cops do, and the car kind of spins out. These two bad guys, I mean, now there's like five or six cop cars chasing this one car. They jump out and they pull guns out, and I mean, Swiss cheese isn't a way to say. I mean, these guys both just, they're down and dead, you know. But I'm thinking to myself, where in a million years do you think you're going to win this? You know, I mean, you're going to get, like you said, you're going to end up in handcuffs one way or the other. And right. And you're trained. You know, these thugs, many of them don't have even a clue how to point a weapon necessarily, shoot a weapon. But it is, like you said, my brother used to say to me, what's my alternative? I die. You know, in his case, right. This is my brother that's a police officer. And he says, so that you should, you know, they always say center mass, shoot center mass. I mean, you don't shoot to maim. You don't shoot to knock the gun out of somebody's hand. You have to.
No, you shoot to stop the threat.
Yeah.
You shoot to stop the threat. And police officers are under no obligation to wait and make sure that what the person is pointing at them in a manner that is consistent with a firearm, to make sure that that firearm is real, make sure that it's actually a firearm. There's so many videos of this. They talk about there's a case, like it's from the Midwest, I believe, where there was a young boy who was pointing a gun at people on the street, which elicited 911 calls. The officers show up, the kid makes the motion towards the weapon, and the officers shoot and kill him. Well, I mean, of course, that's a tragedy, but a completely avoidable tragedy on the boy's part. I mean, where are his parents? Why is he walking around pointing a gun that would make somebody call 911? And then when the cops show up, why does he make a furtive movement towards the weapon? Now, there were policy issues there with the officers that were involved and they were fired, but it wasn't a crime. You know, people, you know, the left tends to they hold nobody responsible for their part in why these things happen.
No,
and it's very obvious. If you know what you're looking at, you understand the law, because policy in police departments is pretty much the same across the board. You know, there's a few little nuances that are different. But for the most part, it's the same. When you know that and you look at it and you go, okay, well, I mean, what choice did he have? You know, and you see that all the time. There was the guy in New York who was selling cigarettes. And, you know, I can't breathe. Well, you could have just turned around and gotten your ticket. That was an option. But instead, he chose to fight with the cops. And this is a 6-foot-plus, 350-pound man and, you know, a little tiny officer who has to arrest him. You don't hold court in the street.
Yep.
If you don't like what the cops are doing, you fight it in court. If that doesn't work, you make a complaint with Internal Affairs. You know, that's why they built courthouses. That's why they're internal affairs divisions. People need to utilize that, because nobody wins when you have court in the street. Someone's going to get hurt or killed. It affects everybody, their family. The officer has to live with that. And, you know, most cops, I would put a very high percentage, did not join the police department to use their weapon. It's a part of the job that you accept, but most cops are not excited to do that. You know, cop talk is one thing, but actually doing it, having to live with it, is a totally different thing. But, you know, of course, that doesn't sell newspapers. It doesn't have people tune into the you know.
No, they TV. I used to have a PR guy that used to manage PR for my business and stuff. And we had some really cool stories of some business successes we were having. And some of the publications wouldn't pick it up. And I'm thinking to myself, these are pretty newsworthy. And he said, Robert, he goes, news, he had a saying, bleeding is leading. So if it's not bleeding, if there's not absolute pain or something they can sensationalize, they're not going to print it, because it doesn't entertain people. I mean, we as consumers, the bleeding is fascinating, right? They look into it. You look at the videos. How many people? I mean, I've looked at the Mesa video a few times because I'm just kind of like, whoa, you know, and just trying to process what I have. But like you said, you know, people need to take the little bite size, step back 10 feet, and then let the information kind of roll itself out. And that's
the other thing, too. Real quick, with police, I can tell you this, and it's very clear across the country. When a cop has done something wrong, and there is a question mark, that cop is dealt with swiftly and severely. You know, these cops that are doing things that are criminal in nature, like they are arrested, they are charged, it is very public, and they are sentenced to very lengthy prison terms. And I'm talking, you know, you see these cops that go out and commit sexual assaults or these unlawful shootings that happen. These cops are prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
What more, I mean, do people want? I mean, they want the same treatment for them. If you're charged with a crime, you want your day in court. Well, it seems like the left just wants to bypass all of that and go straight to the gallows.
It's the court. Court of public opinion. You're right. It is.
Right.
They're trying to use it that way. Hey, Bo, thanks for joining us. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to Buzzkirk and Graham. Bo Treble, retired police officer, weighing in on what's been going on in Mesa. I think he gave us a good perspective. I think the biggest thing that I took away from listening to Bo is we all need to just step back. Let the information work itself out. We can make it a judgment, but it's not our job to make the judgment. We've got the law enforcer. We've got our law enforcers. We've got our judges, our lawyers. They're going to argue different points, and the outcome's going to be such. So we'll see what happens. Again, Robert Graham of 960 The Patriot. We'll be back for more. I definitely want to get into the Nobel Prize with Donald J. Trump and President Obama. So we'll be back after the break. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to 960 The Patriot, and you are tuned in to the Buzzkirk and Graham Show. As you know, Chris has been sick. He's been fighting one of these chest colds that has literally robbed us of his voice, and we're hoping he's doing well, and we look forward to his speedy return. Hopefully, he'll be back tomorrow, but it'll all be if he gets his voice back. So, Chris, again, if you're listening in, we hope you're feeling better. Hey, if you're driving home, if you're stuck in traffic somewhere, thanks for tuning in. If you are at home, thanks a lot for tuning in. I say it all the time, but I appreciate you. I mean, the idea is to try to bring you information that's relevant to you. I mean, I think about all of us are struggling to try to do what we can to have the best possible outcome in our lives. You hear me quickly say jobs, opportunity, prosperity, and safety, but to each one of us, it's defined in different ways, right? So when we look at economic policy, when we look at foreign policy, when we look at what's happening in our local PDs, and we look at what's happening from a policy standpoint in schools and school boards and districts and healthcare, this and the other, it impacts us in one way or the other where it becomes intimately personal. And again, you know, you look at one household, it might be a single individual that's 25 years old and they have a set of needs, wants, and dynamics facing their particular life. If you look at a single parent who's trying to raise three kids or one kid or a special needs family or who knows, they have different dynamics and they have different variables that they're considering on a daily basis. So what you hope for when it comes to leaders, when it comes to lawmakers, processes of information, the media, is you're trying to find some semblance of truth and reality. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, is we want to trust it. You know, earlier we were talking about the FBI and really what is the big fear factor that goes along with the scandals that are surrounding the FBI. And then we had a couple of people call in, Rick and Tony and Doug, and many of them said the same thing in the sense that, why aren't people being held accountable? So we look at these police officers, we see the left that grabs this media, pump, 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 pump. They take advantage of any kind of media dynamic here. There's more to this, okay? It may be absolute brute force, violent behavior by police officers or not. And the one thing about these body cams, when you take a little snippet in time like we've been seeing on TV and such, it shows you one little snippet in time. And so we look at all the information. That's what we're hoping for. We look at the Mueller investigation. It just chokes me out, too, because look at any of the product that he's received or accomplished outside of his investigations. It's what? It's not relevant to anything that he's supposed to be investigating. And then you look at this FBI, the Inspector General report, it comes out. It's pretty darn clear, right? You look at what the supposed investigations on Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation and such, which I think is still an ongoing investigation. I can't verify because nobody will verify one way or the other if these ongoing investigations exist. But the reality is when are people going to be held accountable that cross this certain threshold? And so in this case, a lot of people, you know, Bo spoke of the thin blue line. And the local level, it's different. I mean, there's corruption everywhere. There's no question about it. And there's different layers of it. And most of us won't ever encounter it because we're not involved in it, right? But then my dad used to say, if you act like a fool, you're going to be treated like a fool. And I think people do that, right? They kind of find their way into it and such. Hey, right away, I want to get back. John just joined us again here from Phoenix. And we were talking about the deep state. We were talking about the FBI. John, I want to give you time. We only have 2 minutes left in this segment, but hey, welcome back. Thanks for being patient.
Well, thank you very much. And wow, you're great. You're articulate. Love to listen to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
I've been following a YouTube site called American Intelligence Media. And they have been following a lot of this stuff. And they said that the shadow government is basically about 10,000 people in the government, called the Senior Executive Service, and the positions were created back in the 70s when the Civil Service Act was reorganized in some way. And these people are basically from industry. They're not subject to the government practices. They basically are in every organization in the government, and they are these are the people that we are having a lot of trouble with. They are basically have been replaced over the last 8 years by Obama. About 8,000 of them have been replaced, and they're basically loyal to him.
You know, it's interesting. When we come back from the break, John, I want to address some of the things, because I'm going to give you some examples and agencies. I don't know anything about American intelligence media or this senior executive services or what have you, but I do know that there is an incredibly high level remnants of Obama, and these people are extremely still loyal to President Obama. I'll give you an example with the ATF, and it's interesting. But nonetheless, John, thanks for being patient. We're going to cut to the break. You can hang on. And we come back, I'll pick up where we left off. And then I want to wrap up with the Nobel Peace Prize and President Donald J. Trump being nominated by Norwegian lawmakers for the Nobel Peace Prize. We'll be right back after the break. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to 960 The Patriot. And we are doing what we possibly can on the Buzzkirk and Graham Show to bring you information that's meaningful and it's real to you. And that should have a significant place in everything that you're doing. When we talk about policy, fiscal policy, trade between Mexico, Canada, all the different nations and allies that we have around the world, the importance is trying to find our way to something that makes sense for all of us. I mean, look, the one thing that I appreciate Donald Trump saying in UN assemblies and other meetings, he's saying that he is working to do the best thing for the American people. You would expect that from President Peña Nieto and from Canada. And you look at the different places in various countries like Merkel and such, as you move around the world, they should think in the same terms. He actually encourages people, hey, I wouldn't actually judge you or ever say anything negative. You're saying that you are trying to work for the best interest and outcome of your people. That's the way it should be. And then what you do is, understanding that, everybody's going to have a little different perspective on what the best outcome is between the nations. You find a good compromise. You find your way to a solution that's going to help what? Affect the best possible outcome for your people and collectively the trade agreements. And so that's where we are. Okay, what I want to do is I'm on Facebook Live right now, so I'm trying to incorporate as much social media as we possibly can. So if you're joining us at Facebook Live, hello. I've already seen some people, some of my friends down in Mexico that have tuned in and others, so we're glad you're here and helping. But the one thing I wanted to wrap up the show with today before we get to the final little segment is talking about the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, the Nobel Peace Prize, if you really understand how the Nobel Peace Prize works and really the background behind it, it is just that. You try to find this some significant person. It could be an academic. It could be a lawmaker. It could be somebody else that has made a huge contribution to the world. And generally speaking, you could point to some element of peace, right? You can say, hey, this person's effort, their backdrop, exactly what they're attempting to do is leading to some positive outcome that could ultimately affect and protect the entire world, not just a region or some regional dynamic, but the entire world. So if you haven't heard the news the last couple of days, there has President Donald J. Trump has been nominated by two lawmakers that are from the Norwegian Governing Progress Party. And so this happened. Now, these guys made the nomination just recently, okay? The close of the nominations for the 2018 award was January, okay? So they put in their nominations and such, and they're going to roll over to the 2019. Just to give you a perspective, size, girth, whatever you want to say, the 2018 nominations, there were 330 nominations. And so what they're doing is they're nominating him based upon the work that he's doing to do what? Denuclearize North Korea. And so you look at that and you say, okay, you see it? People talked about it. You know, I never thought in a million years to get nominated, to be quite honest. That there seems to be so much hate, especially with the progressive groups that are out there toward Donald Trump. They don't want to give him any options to have any kind of success. They do not want to give him accolades and pat him on the back. But quite honestly, it's astonishing. They talk about not the people that nominated, but the media right now is starting to scratch their head a little bit, because a lot of our former presidents and other world leaders, when they were dealing with the regime in North Korea, They dealt with it with this absolute discipline protocol. They threatened to run humanitarian. They did this, that, and the other. It was so sterile that they didn't get anywhere. If you look at Donald Trump's changeover, he's using flatter. He's flattering Kim Jong-un every time he turns around. You know, he's doing some, hey, he's smart. He's come to the table. He's really mean something about this. He's giving him more rope, more rope, more rope to make good decisions. And it's interesting because you can corner people diplomatically. And when you do that, what do? They come out swinging, right? There's egos involved. There's national sovereignty involved. There's the perception of your nation that's involved. We saw this with then-candidate Trump and President Peña Nieto. There was some jousting that was going on, very aggressive during the campaign process. And quite honestly, Peña Nieto had to do it in order to protect what image he was trying to protect as he's wrapping up his presidency. Donald Trump was a candidate, right? He just did what he did and whatever. But that kind of disposition, you have to consider what it means to your entire nation and the way that people perceive you. So that's happening. So now here he is. He's a nominee. He's a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize. We'll see what happens. A lot of people that are pro-Trump supporters say, it's really nice that they took the exercise to do this because likely, again, a lot of us believe even if he does it, pulls it off, real denuclearization, real progress, maybe even a treaty, a lot of us have any doubt that anybody in the world wants to support him because he's disrupted the whole apple cart, right? He's shifted the whole power structure. When you go into NATO and you say to the 28 participating countries, you're not paying your fair share, pony up. And then you find out only 24 to 28 countries are paying their fair share and the United States is paying twice as much. For what? All this security that comes from the U.S. to help? That's exactly what they're banking on. They're not holding accountable. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like somebody waving the, hey, you're not paying your full share amount in front of the camera. So a lot of people in the world just don't like him. Then you go to the UN. Look, when President Obama was, how many times did the UN Security Council vote with the U.S.? Not very often, right? There was so much hate coming out of the UN toward the U.S. And Obama just said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep saying I'm sorry. President Trump goes in there. He deals with Syria in a swift, effective way. How'd they vote? Unanimously supporting, right? The second time, unanimously supporting. As you start to see this, and then you have Nikki Haley, who's just rocking the boat. I mean, she is rocking the world, quite honestly, with what she's doing in the UN as the ambassador. She is doing very, very well. So we see all of this where there's a change agent that's happening. They're being recognized by these Norwegian Governing Progress Party lawmakers, the two that made the nomination. Now, I'm going to shift gears real quick and talk about President Obama. So President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize, right? Do you have, and this is a 2009 award that he won. Do you know why he won it? So they declared this extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. Okay. They cited him for his efforts on promotion of a non-nuclear proliferation and this new climate, not climate change, but new climate between international relations. That's what they said he did. Now, remember, do you have any idea how many days before he was nominated after he became the president? Any idea? I'm sure some of you know. 11 days. 11 days. I mean, when I saw the Nobel Prize get awarded, when I saw his name as being nominated, I thought to myself, what in the world? How do you denuclearize as a Chicago community organizer? Okay. How about a senator that did squat diddly, was hardly there for his votes? How about a no-name anybody, regardless if your name is Barack Hussein Obama or if it's Robert Graham or what have you? They go through this process and they are recognized for something that they haven't done except for with their words. The Nobel Peace Prize is something that most of us have revered over the years as a mechanism to really award somebody or recognize them. I mean, it's become more liberal and liberal, liberal, liberal over time. And this whole climate change and this progressive nonsense that's going along with the Nobel Peace Prize at this particular point. And then with Obama, I just lost absolute any faith in the Nobel Prize. So now our president's been nominated. Is it going to happen? Maybe. But I got to tell you that if he even advances this beyond to where they start to really define, put things into writing and start making some material commitments, he deserves it. I'm just going to say it how it is. Whether the world recognizes him or not, I will. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to Buzzkirk and Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. If you're on Facebook Live, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back after this short break. The goal is not to put us asleep at the end of the day. It's to keep us going. But I'll tell you what, this is Robert Graham. You're listening to Buzzkirk and Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. Thanks for tuning in today. You know, we go through a lot of information, and some of it's disturbing in the sense of, you know, some of the reality that's happening out there. Right now, when you think about violence, you think some of the crime, you think of policy, you think about the political bias, the lack of accountability. When we were talking about the FBI and some of these people like Hillary Rodham Clinton, I mean, I honestly don't understand why she hasn't been held accountable. Her, Bill Clinton, even Chelsea Clinton. Last I had understood is that Chelsea was one of the biggest ringleaders within the Clinton Foundation. So you look at this and what do? Because a lot of times it's exhausting, right? You look at it, you feel, and I think a lot of you are sitting here going, hey, I had a client one time say that she understood why I couldn't sleep at night. And I said, why is that? And she said, because you're so angry. You're angry at the status quo. You're angry and you're not comfortable with all the things that are happening around you. And that's true. But the other reality is you can't let it absorb you. You have your piece in the world where you have absolute influence. There's no question about it. It could be a big piece. You could have a bullhorn. You could be somebody sitting behind a microphone talking to thousands of people and doing what you possibly can to influence and really shape people's perspective in a way that you believe is the best way to move forward. Look, we had our founding fathers in this country that had a vision, right? They didn't have an absolute, perfectly shared vision. They had a vision of what was possible. They had a deeper, and I believe in many cases, a divine understanding of human nature. And they knew what our potential was. That God was something that we were comfortable talking about, having the divine nature behind people, but not just the divinity, but this whole Judeo-Christian background and not being apologetic for believing in a higher power that believed in us and our potential. So when we think about what's happening, we think about the FBI, we think about what's happening in Mesa, we think about the World Trade, the IMF poking away, we see the Nobel Peace Prize, all of these different components that are influencing our lives, we have to return to one simple premise. We have control, we have influence in our piece of life. So what does that mean? The conservative principles and values, I believe, are the greatest values that you can engage with. Understanding the different components are very important. Do you read? Do you try to go deep? My daughter one time wanted to say some things about Hillary Clinton in one of her speeches, and she's given very huge 10,000 plus public speeches. She's been all over the place, all over the world with different interactions and such by way of interview. And I basically one time said to her, you don't know enough about that topic. Go back and research it. She spent 2 hours, came back with a pile of notes and said, this is what I understand. She enlightened me. Okay. You have that opportunity to enlighten your piece of the pie. Maybe that is just at home. And that's powerful, right? Because now we have surrogates. We have people talking and we get to move out and move forward. Again, it is the greatest country in the world. It's getting better every single day. We're becoming a brighter light on the Hill. And that's what I think when President Trump said, make America great again, people would say, we are great. What his vision was, make America the greatest nation on earth. And keep reminding people that we are better, stronger, and doing more every single day. Again, this is Robert Graham. You're listening to Buzzkirk and Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. Have a fantastic evening, and we'll talk to you more tomorrow.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.